This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
The heated tax debate. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Friday, September 29. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Republican lawmakers have run into their first hurdle trying to pass tax reform. They're debating the proposed repeal of the individual deduction for state and local taxes.
Aid begins trickling into Puerto Rico, which has been devastated by Hurricane Maria. Also, hear how hospitals work under limited electricity.
Taxpayers are being refunded more than $50,000 from a cabinet official who flew aboard charter jets for government work.
And not good news for Generation X, which appears to be making a mess out of retirement savings.
It's not good. It's not good at all for Gen X. Gen X has saved exactly the same amount for retirement as millennials have, and they're a lot older. So that is most certainly not good.
Katie Hill at Moneyish.com on the most financially wrecked generation. She's here in about 20 minutes. Didn't take long for Republicans on Capitol Hill to encounter their first significant hurdle as they try to pass an overhaul of the tax code. Yesterday, a day after announcing their proposal, GOP lawmakers debated scaling back one of their largest and most controversial ideas to pay for lower tax rates, repeal of the individual deduction for state and local taxes. Faced with the potential for defections by House Republicans from high tax states like New York and New Jersey, Republicans are exploring ways to satisfy those lawmakers without backing off the lower tax rates they promised. House Speaker Paul Ryan remains optimistic.
It's about helping the middle class. It's about helping people who are striving to build businesses and to achieve their piece of the American dream. We are really very encouraged with the broad support our framework has received. It's clear that this is time to act. It's clear we've got to get this done.
At this point, there's no public support from Democrats, and the GOP has little wiggle room to get legislation passed in the House and Senate. Republicans from high tax states do have clout to force change if they stick together. Well, as President Trump pushes his tax reform proposals and Congress begins to work on making the numbers add up, how much of what is floated can actually be implemented? We're joined now by Indiana Congressman Jim Banks. Congressman, your read so far.
This will be the most significant tax reform effort, if it's passed, that we've seen since 1986. And Gordon, I was 7 years old in 1986. That was a long time ago, and this has been a long time coming. I'm excited to be a part of a Congress that passes something like this that I believe will grow our economy in a way that we haven't seen in a lifetime.
All right. I think everybody wants to see something get done. My question is, and I'm not a tax guy, numbers kind of guy, I'll yield, but I've read so much that says tax cuts don't lead to growth. Where's the truth on this? Is that true or not?
Well, that's hogwash, and we can look at two different examples to know that that's not the case. First and foremost, look at what occurred in 1986 when President Reagan ushered through a significant tax reform. We saw the economy grow. We saw GDP growth of 3 to 4% for a sustained period of time. We haven't seen, by the way, GDP growth at even 3% since the mid-2000s. So if we pass this tax reform package, all we have to do is look at history. But we can also look at my home state, which is why President Trump was there. In the past few years, we've passed a tax reform and tax cuts to the measure that we're calling for the nation. And we've seen our state lead the way in job growth, balanced budgets in our state that are really make Indiana the envy of almost every other state in the country. So we have good examples to know why that's the case. At the end of the day, though, putting money back in the pockets of hardworking middle class families who deserve it, more than anything else, that's what's going to fuel our economy and get us back to those 3 to 4% GDP growth that we need to see to see job growth and economic growth occur in our country once again.
I know I read something too that said it's the numbers don't add up or explode the budget or the debt rather too much if everything gets done, like dropping the corporate tax rate from 35% to 20% or some of these individual breaks. What's realistic, I guess, or what do you really want to be able to hang your hat on?
The numbers do go a long way when you talk about closing a number of loopholes and a number of special interest group deductions, and another mechanism that's used in the tax plan to make up the difference is also closing the state and local tax deduction, which is there's a broad consensus that that's one trade-off that we can close that deduction and make up for a lot of the cost. But when we look at economic forecast into the next 10 years to 20 years, we can see the economic benefit over that period of time, and if we can get to 3 to 4% GDP growth, that will quickly reduce deficit spending in our country once again, see balanced budgets, and start to turn that tide. So this is an exciting effort. There's a lot of optimism on Capitol Hill about this, Gordon, and it's not just among Republicans. There are a number of Democrats who are supportive of broad tax reform measures. In fact, Senator Joe Donnelly from my home state was on stage with President Trump in Indianapolis as he talked about this effort. So I'm optimistic because of that. I believe that there will be bipartisan support for this tax reform measure and believe that we can get this passed, which we weren't able to do on the health care measure.
Right. We're speaking with Indiana Congressman Jim Banks. All right. What about the potential of this increasing the debt? Do you think that's not going to happen, or if it does, would you still support it?
Well, at the end of the day, tax cuts and tax reform are, in my opinion, fundamental to economic growth. And anything that I've read about increasing deficit spending is quickly made up with in a period of time as we see us once again get back to 3 to 4% GDP growth. So I'm not. I ran for Congress because I'm concerned about a $20 trillion national debt. And you know, just 2 weeks ago we passed the $20 trillion mark for the first time. So that's fundamental to why I ran for Congress in the first place, to get here to do something about that. I don't think there's any more significant or easier way to get to the point where we can begin to balance the budget than to pass tax reform. So this is fundamental to getting there.
The odds that something will get done here that would count as a legislative victory.
Gordon, I'm a freshman member of the Congress, and I learned in the past 9 months not to make predictions, and this place can be a frustrating place at time with the repeal and replace of Obamacare as case in point, but I have a lot more optimism about this than I do about repealing Obamacare. Not that any of us are giving up on those efforts that believe that we have to do something to rescue our healthcare system.
Thanks, Jim. It's Indiana Congressman Jim Banks. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. How would you like the convenience of joining a group cycling class whenever you want, right in your own home? Skip the commute to the gym, join live rides on the Peloton indoor cycling bike, or choose a ride on demand based on your favorite music. You can even choose your favorite world-class instructor. There are also dozens of on-demand scenic rides and additional off-bike workouts. The Peloton bike includes a 22-inch high-def touchscreen, performance tracking metrics, and a real-time leaderboard. In fact, see if you're working harder than me. My screen name is Radio Guy Gordon. Discover this cutting-edge indoor cycling bike that brings the studio experience to your home. Peloton is offering listeners a limited time offer. Go to PelotonCycle.com, enter the code GordonDeal at checkout, and get 20% off accessories with your Peloton bike purchase. Get a great workout at home anytime you want. Go to PelotonCycle.com, use the code GordonDeal, and get started. Hey, glad you could be with us. Welcome into Friday. After President Trump indicated his job could be at stake, Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price said he would stop traveling on private jets and would write a personal check to reimburse the federal government more than $50,000 for his flights. Dr. Price, a former Republican congressman from Georgia, said he would fully cooperate, too, with the previously disclosed Inspector General's investigation into his travel.
All of these trips were official business. All of them were within budget. All of them were approved by the normal processes that every other administration has gone through prior to the trip, not after.
An investigation by Politico found that Dr. Price had taken at least 26 charter flights Since May, Politico put the total cost to the government at more than $400,000. Separately, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said yesterday he would use government aircraft to fly only when it was necessary, but he stopped short of committing to fly commercial only during the rest of his tenure as Treasury Secretary. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Word in the Trump administration says its relief efforts in Puerto Rico are succeeding, but people on the island say help is scarce and disorganized. While food supplies are dwindling in some remote towns 8 days after Hurricane Maria devastated the U.S. territory, Acting Homeland Security Secretary Elaine Duke.
The relief effort is under control. It is proceeding very well, considering the devastation that took place.
President Trump yesterday cleared the way for more supplies to head to Puerto Rico by issuing a 10-day waiver of federal restrictions on foreign ships delivering cargo to the island. House Majority Whip Steve Scalise returned to the Capitol yesterday for the first time since he was shot by a gunman at a baseball practice for Republican lawmakers in June. The Louisiana congressman walked with the aid of braces into the House chamber, which erupted into prolonged applause.
While some people might focus on a tragic event and an evil act, to me, all I remember are the thousands of acts of kindness and love and warmth that came out of this and kept me going through all of it.
In a departure from normal House protocol, Speaker Paul Ryan granted Scalise permission to speak for as much time as he desired. A stampede broke out on a crowded pedestrian bridge connecting two railway stations in Mumbai during rush hour this morning, killing more than 20 people and seriously injuring another 24. The stampede was triggered by falling concrete that hit the bridge railing, leading people in the crowd to surge forward to escape what they thought was a collapsing bridge. People had been crowding under the canopy covering the bridge to escape heavy rains, making the deadly tragedy worse. 2 days of cracking, thundering, falling rock at Yosemite National Park have left one man dead and two people injured. A massive new hunk of granite broke off yesterday at the park's mountaineering mecca of El Capitan, injuring an elderly man and sending out huge plumes of white dust. Well, it's never too early to start thinking about a Halloween costume for your pet. According to a new survey, 16% of us will dress up our pet with pumpkin as the top costume choice. Other top pet costumes are hot dog, lion, pirate, bee, devil, and ghost.
Hmm. Got a chocolate lab puppy who's like 9 months old.
Mm-hmm. What's he going to be?
She will be nothing.
Come on.
No, we're not into that. Besides, she would chew it off in about 10 seconds flat. She's been restricted to the kitchen for now.
Uh-oh.
So she can't destroy things.
Uh-oh.
She's
a chewer.
She's when she's out of chewing options, she chews the cat.
Oh, that's not good.
Well, the cat seems to like it. I can't understand the relationship, but we have to shoo her constantly. Don't eat the cat. 23 minutes now after the hour. Thanks for being with us. With millennials garnering much of this negative press around their financial issues, Gen Xers may be the ones who are really in trouble. Katie Hill at Moneyish.com is here to explain the ways Gen X is in financial trouble. Katie, two words for this: not good.
It's not good. It's not good at all for Gen X. Gen X has saved exactly the same amount for retirement as millennials have, and they're a lot older. So that is most certainly not good. That was about $35,000, and both the millennials they looked at and the Gen Xers they looked at had both saved the same amount. And as you probably well know, that is way, way, way less than they should have. Fidelity recommends that by 40, you should have three times your salary saved. So anyway you shake it, $35,000 for any member of Gen X is not going to be enough.
Man, and that's the median, meaning half the people are below $35,000.
That's right. And look, I think part of this is that Gen X really is the sandwich generation of, you know, a lot of them have kids. They're also, caring for aging parents. And they feel like retirement is the thing that they can't save for, that they can't do. And so that may be what's going on here. But yeah, I mean, the millennials in this and the Gen Xers in this have saved the same amount. But the Gen Xers are, you know, decade plus younger than some of them. So
boy.
A little bit scary.
Wow. What about the credit card debt? Because that's not a pretty sight either.
No, it is not. Gen X has more credit card debt than any age, old or young, by quite a bit. The 45 to 54 age group has more than $9,000 in credit card debt. The under 35 set's only got about $3,800, and then very much, much older, 75 and up, has the least. But yeah, I mean, Gen X has $9,000 in credit card debt. way more than younger people or older people.
All right, and explain that too, because more broadly, that there's an overall debt load that's kind of plus the credit card debt.
Right. I mean, part of this is that, you know, Gen Xers are a lot more likely to carry mortgages, et cetera. But yes, they have a lot more debt overall, whether it's auto loans, your home loans, credit card debt, than any of the generations. And hopefully, you know, I mean, I'm going to be optimistic about this one. You know, you'll pay it down. Paying a mortgage is often considered good debt, so this could be good. But yeah, their average debt, at least with households with debt in the Gen X, is about $152,000. That's only about $82,000 for the under 35.
We're speaking with Katie Hill, editor at moneyish.com. Her piece is called All the Ways Gen X is Financially Wrecked. Also, there's, I guess not surprisingly, there's some degree of pessimism, right? These are folks more likely than other generations, as you say, that they feel they can't meet their financial goals.
Yeah, one in three members of Gen X said that they don't think they're going to be able to ever reach their long-term financial goals. You know, millennials and boomers were a lot more optimistic about that. You might think, oh, boomers, they're closing in on retirement. They probably know they can't retire, say, right at 65. But, yeah, I mean, Gen X was really the most financially pessimistic of all of them.
Wow. So, I mean, is there reason for hope, or are they stuck?
You can get out of it, right? You pay off your mortgage and all of a sudden you don't have mortgage payments anymore. Your kids graduate and you're not paying for them anymore. It's just currently for a lot of Gen Xers, they are paying for kids, college, aging parents, all that's happening right now. And so I think that's why, you know, you see more debt, and you see them kind of way more financially pessimistic.
Thanks, Katie. That's Katie Hill, editor at moneyish.com. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Glad you're with us on this Friday, September 29. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Republicans debate income tax deductions. Elon Musk today outlined his vision for human travel to Mars during a presentation in Australia. $27 million in pot sales in the first month in Nevada. Ford has introduced a pickup truck that's nearly $100,000. Stanford is the latest school to offer students the morning after pill through a vending machine. And the Ohio teenager who had homecoming brought to his hospital bed. That story in about 20 minutes. Puerto Rico's healthcare system is dealing with widespread power losses, crippled hospitals, and dwindling medical supplies more than a week after Hurricane Maria came ashore. Wall Street Journal healthcare reporter Melanie Evans has pieced together what medical workers are going through. Melanie, what have you found?
We had a few reporters who were reaching out to doctors in Puerto Rico. A colleague was in Puerto Rico as well. And the reports that we were getting back was that hospitals on the island were struggling, like everybody, with widespread power losses. And some need for fuel for generators, and also need for additional medical supplies.
Boy, I you know, everybody probably has a good idea what it's like to be out of power, you know, no air conditioning in an island setting, things like that. But boy, when you talk about hospitals desperate for fuel for generators, that's different level stuff.
So the most recent briefing from the Federal Emergency Management Agency basically said that the Department of Health and Human Services and the Department of Defense have been able to assess the status of 47 of the island's 69 hospitals. Of those, 44 are operating. They've been able to deliver fuel to 19, and they have now developed what they call a fuel rotation to try to ensure that hospitals are able to sort of maintain their generators. So that's the latest status. Complicating all of this is the fact that that cell service across Puerto Rico is pretty spotty. So the latest FEMA report basically says that about 90% of the cell sites are out of service. And so I spoke with some relief workers there who were trying to assess the medical needs of communities across the island, and there was no way for them to communicate other than to get in a car and drive to where they needed to go. Jeez. The problem being that there's a shortage of fuel, so making those trips is difficult.
Oh, my goodness. We're speaking with Melanie Evans, Wall Street Journal healthcare reporter. Her piece is called Puerto Rico Rushes to Patch Up Healthcare System Ravaged by Hurricane Maria. So explain what it's like, I guess, maybe what some of these doctors are going through inside hospitals.
Yeah, so some of the physicians that that we spoke to earlier this week reported that even where power had been restored, for example, there's a large public hospital and clinic complex in San Juan, Centro Medico, power had been restored, but it was still intermittent, and power was sort of available for critical functions, right, which is, you know, like some of the essential lighting and medical equipment. But, for example, like a CT scanner wasn't working in one instance, which one doctor there sort of described kind of put them back to 1970s, 1980s medicine.
Wow.
So where there is power available and where we are able to speak with people, it is, you know, there are still limits on what they can do. The Department of Health and Human Services has set up a sort of a temporary medical center in Centro Medico to try to help alleviate some of the demand that the hospital may be seeing, because patients are being evacuated into San Juan from rural areas around the island. But that temporary medical tent can handle sort of the less acute, less critical patients, but not the real, not patients who are in real critical need.
Jeez. It's so difficult right now with lack of electricity and cell phone service. What kind of cases are they having to deal with on a fairly regular basis?
What we heard from physicians in Puerto Rico was that some of the common problems that people have as they are arriving in the emergency room after the storm are related to these generators that they're using for power, and that can be burns or it can be poisoning associated with the generator fumes.
Wow. Thanks, Melanie. Wall Street Journal healthcare reporter Melanie Evans. It's 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. Look us up on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well, @GordonDeal. Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Friday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, this might be the first time that a restaurant was robbed at gunpoint by the food that it serves. That's the case at a Rally's fast food restaurant in Kentucky, where an armed man in a Coca-Cola bottle costume was caught on video robbing the establishment at gunpoint. The footage, which was posted to Facebook by Henderson Police, shows the robber entering through the back door wearing a full-body Coke bottle costume Monday morning and pointing a gun at the manager, who police said was alone inside the eatery at the time. Police say the robber fled in a gray minivan with $500 in cash. The Rally's manager thankfully was not harmed. The company is reportedly offering a $5,000 reward for anyone with information on the thief. And if you're of a certain age, you might remember the old Coke slogan, "Coke adds life." But in this case, it subtracted some cash instead.
Have a Coke and a smile.
Yes.
Yeah, not so much here.
Yeah, you could probably pull any number of Coke slogans that, that don't quite fit this situation. But I always wonder, though, I mean, obviously, you know, when you're robbing a place, you want to have a costume, you want to have a disguise of some kind.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually people just go for the mask or something like that.
When
you have something so specific like this, it seems like a bad idea, because it seems like there's not a lot of people walking around with Coke bottle costumes.
Yeah, I like that you called it a costume.
I guess.
It's not really like a work uniform.
Right.
It's a costume.
It's probably a Halloween costume or something like that.
Probably got it from a costume store.
Yeah, we're getting up on Halloween season here.
Correct.
And if you're planning a trip to northeast Mexico anytime soon, you should, of course, check the weather report before you go. Partly cloudy with a 50% chance of flying fish. This on the heels of a storm on Tuesday in the city of Tampico that civil defense officials say brought with it light rain along with small fish falling from the sky. Photos posted on the civil defense agency's Facebook page show four small fish in a bag and another on the sidewalk. And despite the rare nature of this occurrence, according to the U.S. Library of Congress, it's a phenomenon that has been reported since ancient times. Scientists believe that tornadoes over water, known as waterspouts, could be responsible for sucking fish up into the air, where they're blown around until being released to the ground. Some recent examples of fishy rain include 2016 in India, 2012 in Sri Lanka, 2010 in Australia, and what was described as a fishy deluge in 2004 by residents of a village in Wales. Mm. So this is a thing that happens.
I've seen video of like a guy in a boat who that happens to.
Yeah.
And like it knocks his hat off into the, it appears to be a river he's on.
Yeah.
But it didn't appear to me that there was any kind of foul weather, like a water spout, you know, sucking up fish out of the river. It just seemed like,
yeah.
I don't know, they got freaked out by something and were just traveling in the opposite direction. And here's this poor guy sort of dodging them.
Yeah, and this is the kind of thing, I guess, that can happen even a little bit further inland. Like, again, you have a water spout, sucks the fish up. They get kind of trapped up in the atmosphere and they stay up there for a little while.
Geez.
Or even move inland a little
Literally
bit.
Literally raining fish.
And then this is actual, you know, fish being rained down upon you from way up. So, I mean,
right.
If they hit you in the head, that's probably not a pleasant experience.
The video I can see that I've seen on multiple occasions, the fish are actually like just jumping out of the water.
Yeah. You know, jumping into the boat kind of a thing.
You know where that never happens?
Where?
In a fishing tournament.
Like you experienced
last weekend? As evidenced by me over the weekend, yes, where I fished for 8 hours for bass and didn't get a single bite.
You would have killed for a water spout at that point, wouldn't
Please,
you?
Please, rain gods, send me something in which fish will rain down. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could be with us. Thanks for spending some time here. Today, as you may know, is National Coffee Day, and the best way to celebrate is with free and discounted cups. USA Today has a list of some of the deals. Dunkin' Donuts, if you buy a medium or larger cup of hot coffee and get a medium hop coffee free at participating locations nationwide. At Wawa, no coupon is needed to get a free cup of coffee any size. That's probably the simplest deal around. At Krispy Kreme, it's National Coffee Weekend at participating locations. Get one free hot brewed or small iced premium blend per day from today through Sunday. At McDonald's, for a limited time, get a small specialty coffee for just $2 at participating locations. Also, there are coupons for a free medium McCafe with any purchase in the McDonald's smartphone app. From Keurig, today through Sunday, 20% off all pods and bagged coffee purchased at Keurig.com with the coupon code CELEBRATE. At Pete's Coffee, at participating stores and coffee bars, today get 25% off of all beans and a free drip coffee or tea with your bean purchase. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon fighting to keep his job. Health Secretary Tom Price says he'll write a personal check to reimburse taxpayers for his travel on charter flights taken on government business and pledged to fly commercial from now on. Price spoke to Fox News about reimbursing the $52,000.
I look forward to regaining the trust that the American people, some of the American people may have lost in the activities that I took.
Meanwhile, Politico is reporting Price spent $500,000 on tax-funded military aircraft travel for him and his wife, in addition to the previously reported private charter flights. According to the report, the White House approved more than $500,000 in taxpayer funds for military jets for Price's travel to Africa, Europe, and Asia this year. More than $400,000 was spent on private charter planes on routes that often had commercial flights available. More than a week after Hurricane Maria devastated Puerto Rico, truckloads of vital supplies are moving at a crawl as widespread damage stymies efforts of companies, government agencies, and relief groups to restore basic services. The Trump administration is seeking to accelerate efforts to get relief shipments to the island's 3.4 million residents in the wake of criticism that the federal response has been sluggish. Yesterday, the Defense Department deployed a three-star general to Puerto Rico to oversee relief efforts. Racial slurs have been found scrawled on dorms of 5 black cadets at the Air Force Academy in Colorado. The epithet, together with the words "Go Home," were scrawled on message boards affixed to doors facing the hallway on Wednesday night. Academy Superintendent Jay Silveria.
If you're outraged by those words, then you're in the right place. That kind of behavior has no place at the prep school, it has no place at USAFA, and it has no place in the United States Air Force.
The Academy's security forces are investigating the incident. Good news, if those wordless furniture assembly instructions drive you nuts, IKEA has bought on-demand services site TaskRabbit, which lets you hire help to handle projects like moving, cleaning the house, and, yes, assembling furniture. IKEA says it tested TaskRabbit in its stores in London last year and plans to soon roll out the service in U.S. stores. IKEA says it continuously strives to develop new and improved products and services to make our customers' lives a little bit easier.
Mm, this could put hours or perhaps weeks back into your life.
Yes. Right? It took me about 24 hours to make a nightstand once.
There's only 4 pieces, right?
Yes.
3 legs. Eggs and
yep.
A top.
Yep.
6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Happy Friday. Welcome aboard. Kid named Blake Mounts, a senior at Hilliard Darby High School in the suburbs of Columbus, Ohio, couldn't go to his homecoming dance because of a recent cancer diagnosis, so his date brought homecoming to him. Mr. Mounts was recently diagnosed with childhood leukemia after a school resource officer noticed he was looking pale and advised him to see the school nurse. Local TV station WRIC says because of his diagnosis and chemo treatments, he had to miss the school's homecoming dance. According to CNN, Mounts' best friend, Caitlin O'Connor, showed up to his house asking him to be her date. Smart decision, he accepted. She brought him an outfit and decorations, and with a small entourage, had the event right in the hospital. The sweet gesture quickly went viral, racking up thousands of likes. Ms. O'Connor posted that she'd do it again to see your friend that happy every day. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.